Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, please be with us, O Lord. And Lord, we've heard a lot about light this camp, and I ask, O Lord, that you would give us light. Give us that knowledge, O Father, of you that's essential for life. Father, I pray, O Father, that even right now, Father, you'd allow our minds to begin thinking about the things that are above, not on things below. Father, that our hearts may, Lord, be turned in that direction, O Father, to behold the wonder and glory of Almighty God. O Father, for us to be transformed, O Lord, into a Lord, to be thinking about, Lord, those things that will endure forever, and Lord, to realize that these finite things here are perishing. And Lord, what a glory it'll be. Oh Lord, whenever this whole scene here is done, and Lord, we behold thee face to face, to behold pure light. Lord, to know as we are known. Oh Father, what a glory that will be. But Father, in the meantime, here below, let our focus be there. Let us enjoy the company of the saints. And Father, just be comforted knowing that you're with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Whenever I, right before I came up here, I began brushing myself off, and I was filthy. I had dirt all over my pants and everything. I still had got all off. I almost looked like one of them Palominas with dirt so bad all over me. Looked like somebody, like he waited to go wall in a hog pen before he came to church, and he's going to preach even, but. I lit the stove, so I'll tell y'all just to get off my back, let you know that I don't normally look like this bad. I laid down on the floor in the kitchen and lit the pilot light, and I didn't realize how dirty I got until I got out of there. But anyway, I don't think anybody cares anyway. Have a whole lot more important things to talk about than that, don't we? I'd like to talk about today how shall I stand? And, of course, I know all of you. You're well aware I'm not talking about walking. I might trip and fall on this floor 100 times. We're not talking about standing like that, are we? Not that kind of standing. I want to talk about enduring. I'm talking about my faith holding out and being able to keep on believing to the end. Like Paul said, at the end, I want to be able to say, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. It's always been one of my favorite subjects because I think we must always be aware that as long as we're here, we're in a struggle. And as long as we're here, we're going to be fighting and enduring and use it to take all our strength and all our effort in the end. And yet, when we get to the end, we'll realize it was not our strength and not our effort that did it. But nevertheless, it takes effort on our part. Work out your own salvation, the Bible says, in fear and trembling. But at the same time, the next verse tells us, for it is God which worketh in you to will and do of His good pleasure. One does not negate the other. Both exist. God's working in us, but it's not squishing that spirit within us not to endure and work ourselves. And so, you know, it's both. And so, one thing I don't ever want to be, and I don't want to put on either, and as I'm caught between the rock and the hard place, I don't want to be a person that doesn't have a zeal for the gospel on the one hand, and I don't want to overzeal and become some idiot on the other hand. So, you know, you want to love the Lord and do what's right, and at the same time, you know good and well that a person's a real Christian, he holds back, don't he? He holds back. Brother, that's why you hold back, don't you? You're more excited. Sometimes you want to do more, but you can't even bear some. Some places you don't hold back. And that's the way we are. There's a love. There's a desire. There is something in us that compels us to be excited and exuberant about what we love and believe. And that's this gospel. Jude 24 is where I want you to look at this morning. Jude Verse 24, like Brother Boyne says, I call it Jude 1. I don't want to be like everyone else in that matter. I want to be politically correct, I guess. Jude 1, verses 24-25. And whenever I ask the question, how shall I stand? How will I endure? I'll present the answer to the question right away, so you won't have to wonder about how it's going to happen in the end. But anyway, we're going to travel a little piece between the two. Jude 24 says, Now unto Him. And I want you to, that's the theme of this verse, is Him. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And you know, it looked like he couldn't help but say after he said all that, well, amen, that's about all, that's as much as you can say. That's the final answer to all this. Amen to that. And what a glorious this is to see that whenever I think about standing and enduring, when I think about the difficulty of this life, this verse seems to be the very comfort I need. You see, to the unsearching one, it may seem a strange question when we read a verse like this that so gloriously reveals how we're going to endure to the end and how we're going to keep from falling and how we're going to be able to stand. But at the same time, to those who have gone through life and experienced the things of life, it's not all that easy a question to answer in difficult times, is it? You know, to know something's true and yet hold on to it sometimes is difficult in our lives. Because it takes all our strength and we still don't make it and we still begin to falter. And without God intervening in our lives, we'd fall on almost every little thing that comes our way. And God allows us this to happen to us to reveal to us that these things are true. Without Him, we can't do anything. We can't do anything without Him. With God, the Bible talks about all things are possible, but on the other hand, without Him, we can't do anything at all. And He would have us to know both. Now, you're not going to know both if everything you ever do is so successful that you don't ever have any complications, you don't have any trials, you don't have any troubles, you don't have to work. It's not complicated, it's easy. We wouldn't know what it would be like to trust God. But here, God puts us through straits in order to just fall down, give up, and just say, I can't, I don't know how it'll work out. And we see the power of God working it out in us, and we begin to realize it will not work out with our own power. It cannot work out with our own power. We need God all along the way. We see from the very onset of our Christian faith, when we begin to be a Christian, we look at many others maybe have come in and trusted Christ, it seemed like the same time we did. As we walk this journey through life, as the years pass and we see things happening, we see that most of those people that we knew that professed Christ, in fact, it's almost amazing that that's a majority seems like have fallen away. Where are they now? What happened to them? And you begin to think, Lord, you know, they seem to be just like me. Now, Lord, am I real? Is my faith real? Will it stand? And we begin to look at this. And you know, it's not strange to me in one way that John 6, verse 66 says this, from that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. So you see, this is not a strange thing. Many, didn't say few, many, did not walk with Him after time anymore. Something came up, something in life that came up that stopped them cold turkey in their faith, and they abandoned it and never returned again. Never walked with Him no more. Luke 9:62 states something like this, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is even fit for the kingdom of God. And so all our Christian life we have to go forward and guard against looking back, turning back, going the other way. And it's presented to us in Scripture as no easy task. It's not presented in Scripture so easy and such an easy catwalk. This is a difficult struggle. And so don't think that you're going through anything any other Christian is not going through when your trials and troubles have you just almost at the point of giving up. That happens to many of us many times. Matthew 24:13 says, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. And through these trials, through these troubles, there is an enduring. There is a hard struggle. And it's tough. It's not easy. And over you see this. Wherefore the Bible says, let him that even thinks he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's not this braggadocious thing that I can't fall, that nothing can ever happen to me. It's a watchful eye. It's a watching over your life and guarding against apostasy, against not trusting God. And we must trust in the Lord with all our hearts, with all our might, with all our strength. And we know that even with God, even with Him on our side, that many times we don't go through a trial and trouble in a light manner. It's with much tribulation. Much! You understand, a lot is much. It's tough. It's through much tribulation at the end of the kingdom of God. In fact, the Bible even says, we're to take on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But listen, with the whole armor sometimes, even with the whole armor of God, the Bible says this. It says, wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And that appears to be that even with the armor of God, even with the faith you have, even the best, most faithful servants of God will have trying experiences. When it's said and done, they will look like the rat that got caught by the cat. They'll look like they've been torn and beaten up and struggled and tattered and almost to the point of exhaustion. But they're still standing. They're still standing. And they recover quite well from these things and usually become stronger. What a blessing. Listen, these trials that we count hard and tough are things that strengthen us in the end. I've always been amazed at this one thing. One thing causes those that are apostate to fall away is when the sun comes out and scorches that seed and it has not much root and it dies and withers away. And the unbeliever, but brothers and sisters, the believer needs that sun. It needs that heat. It needs that trial. Instead of him dying and withering away, he flourishes. He grows. His root grows deeper. And he gets more strength and he finds more strength in the Lord. Yeah, these struggles are hard. All around us, evil abounds. And even if we strive to live godly in this world that we live in, we look around and we see not much appreciation for it, not many care. In fact, rather than care, it seems it stirs them up against you instead of putting up with it like they're stirred up against you. And so you're not going to be encouraged by those around you many times except for the remnant. The Bible says in John 17, verse 14, Jesus said, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Not only your struggles bad and tough and tedious, but you think you get some sympathy sometimes instead. Ain't none. I don't care what happens to you. They're glad you're gone if you die. They don't love you. They hate you. They hated Jesus. They'll hate you. What Christ said, they hated me. They're going to hate you. What did they do to him? They killed him. That's what they did. And the more you stand up for the Lord in this cold, dead world, the more you'll be hated, not loved. The world will never be the friend of Christ. The world is at enmity with Christ. So we have inward struggles. The battle's tough. And Scripture plainly tells us this battle's real. Sometimes we don't even seem to be able to stand. In fact, it ain't sometimes, it's all the time. Our love toward others seems to grow cold too. We have a tough time loving people that no matter what you tell them, no matter how much you try to witness to them, if you try, it seems like, you know, it's hard to be nice to somebody that hates everything you believe in and talk bad about it. Sometimes we even think ourselves that providence has acted against us in these trials and troubles of life, that they bear so heavily upon us, more than a poor soul can bear. Sometimes it's so rough, all it seems like we'd like poor Peter. We're trying to walk upon all this storm of life and the waves of blowing, everything's just in turmoil, they're howling upon the seas, and And it seems like in the midst of it, we begin to sink, don't it? And we cry almost like Peter, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. We need help. We need divine help. And here, we can look at this verse and say, where will I get help? That's what it says, unto him that is able. That's what we're looking to. Well, there's got to be somebody that's able. I can't do it. We fall, but we do have somebody that is able to keep us from falling. That's where we're looking. We need that divine help to keep us from falling. God brings us down at these times in order to keep us from ultimately falling. That's amazing. In fact, that word falling actually means stumbling here. And if you think of stumbling, we all know, did y'all need a demonstration of the two? I'm not going to do it. Y'all know. Yeah, get me to do that today, bud. We know what tripping is. Almost falling. Catching yourself. Coming on down. I'm not going to do it. But falling is flopping down there and losing it completely, isn't it? Now, and the Lord is able to keep us from falling all the way down. That's the greatness of our God. And this time about in our walk in life, we learn quickly that only He is able to keep us from the ultimate fall. We'd go all the way down if it was in our strength and our power. He's able to keep us from falling. And we must learn that we may stumble many times, but we're not utterly cast down. It is God keeping us here. And the word keep means to guard, to keep watch, to have an eye upon. Faultless, He's able to keep us blameless, without blame. He is doing this in us, and it's a job that He does very well in keeping us the way we are, by keeping us serious about the fight and knowing that God is with us at every point. And despite all this, the help that He says in Scripture, Psalm 73 speaks in a way that we all can relate to. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. And so, even though we know the Lord's going to keep us from falling, and even though it's something that we don't want to do, we do it a lot. We do it a lot. We're set up on a place where it's slippery. This world is a hard place to walk. It's not easy. It's not easy. That's why God has to be with us. This poor psalmist, I know he must have kept watch, but he said, I slipped. Must have been he came to a place that looked pretty good, and all of a sudden, he's fallen. I went with Brother Don Johnson fishing up in Arkansas, and he brought me out creek fishing in Arkansas. Now, you people from Arkansas don't creek. We don't creek fish in Louisiana because the mud's too deep. You walk out in the creek, you ain't gonna get your foot. You're not going very far in these Louisiana pits. But whenever you're in Arkansas, it's got a good bottom to these places. And it's nice walking. Water's not that deep, and boy, you're enjoying it. But let me tell you one thing. I went slap under the first time I slipped in that place. That looks pretty good footing, and all of a sudden, you're over, and my head went under. I slipped 3 or 4 different times, but I was watching for the next, as I didn't go completely under, but boy, it's all my head, my rod sticking up. It's tough walking. It's so slippery that even when you watch it with everything and take it one step at a time, it just you lose a foot. It's tough. It's real tough. This is a picture I have of the world, of this psalmist here. It looks okay. It looked like, but all of a sudden, his foot had well nigh slipped out from under him. And that's the way troubles and trials get us in this life. It looks like everything's going well, but it looks like all of a sudden, we're tumbling over. You don't know where it comes from. It doesn't spring out of the ground. Man is born into troubles and a spark slop. Everywhere we look, it's a sudden thing. Comes upon us when we're not aware of it, catches us by surprise. If we knew it was going to happen, we wouldn't go there. But that's the way life is. Every day presents its own trials and troubles that we have to go through. This poor guy, he said, my boy, As for me, and I can say that, my feet were almost gone. It happened so quickly, my steps had well nigh slipped. And we know that God is able to keep us from falling completely down. Psalms 37:23-24 says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Though he fall," stumbling again here, "though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down." Why? "For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." When I sing that song, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms," it has a real meaning to me when I read this verse here. Because it wouldn't be for him, I'd go all the way. "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." What a peace is mine. What a fellowship. What a joy divine when you're leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a blessing these old songs are when somebody, you know the verses they read when you read the song, whenever you start singing the song. You know where they get it from. And it's a comfort. And so here we talk about this struggle that we have and how hard it is to walk and what God, and in this walk we have with slippery surface, we have such a faithful God that keeps us from falling. But what a contrast that is to someone who does not know God. Still slippery, brothers and sisters, for them. In fact, it's guaranteed for them. In fact, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:35, the Lord says, "To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste." So there is a dangerous place for anyone who does not know God, so slippery that no one can endure without being utterly cast down. It's guaranteed to be cast down. Hebrews 10:31 says this, "It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God." And brothers and sisters, it's a blessing to know that we're protected, but to those who don't know God, your way is harder. It's harder. You know, it seems like the way of an unbeliever would be easier. He doesn't have to take a stand for God. He can live like he wants to. The world loves him. It's not easy, folks. The way of a transgressor is hard. It's hard. They don't fall easy. They fall hard. It's a fearful thing to think of people that don't know God. For our God is a consuming fire. Keep these things in mind. The wrath of God abides on the ungodly. Abides. It's a fearful thing. But to you who are God's people, boy, this is children's bread here. God is not only able, but I think the Scriptures show He is willing and desirous and enjoys keeping us. Like the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. 2 Peter chapter 1:11 says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Abundantly means He just poured out. It's an abundance. It's not something He's holding back. It's something the Lord is pleased to do to hold us up, to keep us, to watch over us. You know, sometimes I go to the Lord, and it's my own unbelief. I just think, "Lord, I know You can, but are You willing? Will You please help me?" And these Scriptures are so encouraging to me because I see in the Scriptures there is a willingness of the Lord to help me. That's so encouraging. So encouraging. Because men get tired of you, don't they? But you know that story about the unjust judge and this importunate woman that comes and starts making all these demands upon the judge and how the judge grants her petition just because she's a nuisance? Well, the Lord presents that as what we ought to do. We ought to do. And how glorious it is for us to do that. It's not, He doesn't hold us back, but how important it is for the believer to do that, to go to the Lord, to keep on coming. Don't hold back. And so just because you've asked something of the Lord and you hadn't got it, don't stop. Keep going. If you feel like you're right, keep on. The Lord blesses that. Sometimes you pray for people for many years before the Lord does anything. My children, Lord knows how much I prayed for them. Some of you still pray for them. Don't you stop. Do not stop. You see, a delay is not a denial. Brothers and sisters, keep on praying. Let us know. We'll pray. We all uphold each other in prayers before the Lord. That's how we stand. The Lord blessing us. The Lord abundantly ministering to us this entrance into that everlasting kingdom of God. Twice this verse is said in Scripture. Twice. 1 Samuel 27 verse 1 and Psalms 18:36. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. Thou hast enlarged my steps. I tried to get a vision of what this would be in a physical sense. Enlarging my steps. I don't think it means that. I almost think as if he's enlarged the place where you step like a tightrope. That'd be hard. If he enlarges it, my steps. Where that thing's about that wide. Hey, walk on. Something glorious about the way the Lord does things for us. To keep us off that tightrope all the time. To enlarge our steps. To make it more steady up under us. Twice it says that. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip. Psalm 17 verse 5 says, hold up my goings in thy paths that my footsteps slip not. Hold up my goings in my path. Hold up what's in front of me that my feet will not slip. Hebrews 2 verse 1 says, therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We can't let these things slip. This is what we depend on in times of trouble. I like to preach on this a lot because it helps me remember. I'm not doing this for y'all. I'm doing this for me. And y'all, I need this. I'm preaching to myself. I've got to have the assurance and I need to know that my God is with me every step of the way. And the glory of it is if I believe something, I can tell you about it with more desire than if I kind of don't want to preach it. But I want to preach this because this is what I need. It's what I think is good for you. It's just like Bluebell ice cream. If I have that old Great Value, I'll give you some. In fact, I'll give it all to you if you want some. But if I got that Bluebell, look, you got to try this. Oh boy, this is the best stuff you've ever eaten. The gospel's like that. It's food and it's good for us. And it's so good that we can eat of fat things. It's good for you. What a blessing it is to find something we can hold on to and believe and trust in the Lord and love it. Love it to death. And I love the fact that my God has promised to keep me from falling. And it doesn't matter how treacherous the way, you know. And the best thing about it, is you can look at me and tell that I'm not Charles Atlas, huh? Oh, I don't think anybody stupid enough to believe that I can let alone lift up 180 pounds, let alone the world. This is the way God, He helps people that are not strong. Isn't this a wonderful verse? Isaiah 40 verse 29 says, He giveth power to the faint, and them that have no might, He increases strength. The Lord does that. He gives strength to people that don't have it. In the spiritual sense, I may not live, maybe able to lift 130, 40 pounds. But who cares if I can't go there? If in the spiritual sense, 185 pounds. God giving us a spiritual strength we did not have. Not your strength. It's like Samson's strength is God given. I can tell you one thing. I wouldn't be afraid. As only one man I really think I'd like to give a tussle to, if I could ever beat him in glory, I'd like to wrestle with him. I want to wrestle Samson with his hair cut. I want. If I see his hair short, I'm tackling him. Because I don't believe he was any more than anyone else without God.
Right.
Without God, we can do nothing.
Right.
But I ain't going around him when he's right. That's the truth. All of us without God aren't too much. But with God, we have strength we never thought we'd ever have. The mighty God working in us. What do you think gives glory to God? I'm amazed. I think the greatest glory God could ever get is using nobodies. Because all the glory in the end and everything they do will come from His might, His strength. And they'll look at that work and that person that endures and struggles and looks like he's about to fall, and yet he comes out on the other side. He's stronger in the end. And in the end, all the glory goes to the Lord. God kept that guy. Man, he wasn't too much, but I'll tell you one thing. I don't think anybody could endure that except God had been with him. And that's the truth. He couldn't have. And we're all like that. What a blessing. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might." That any mighty man glory in his might is a nothing. His might is so little, he just don't know how nothing he is. "Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understands and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." The great delight of God is showing himself strong in behalf of those who have no strength. That's the glory. That's why he told Gideon to cut that 300,000 army he had, cut it down to 30, cut it down to 3,000, cut it down to 300. Bunch of lap dogs. I was talking about that last night. Sent the ones that lap like dogs to go fight. I don't know anything else they were able to do. Except lap kind of funny, drinking water. Send those out. Send them? Yeah, that's the ones. Well, what about the skills in fighting? He didn't mention that. Those that, I guess they got to get down there and lap. Lap what? A dog laps like that. He don't use his hand. Use them. That's the strangest thing you ever hear of. The Lord just wants to show it won't be any strength. It won't be any might. It won't be anything they have. That victory belongs solely in only to God. If they win that battle, at God's with them. They didn't use swords either. They used a bunch of torches and stuff like that. What funny looking weapons. Amazing that God does these things. Our weaknesses and fear and our struggles only prove how great He is. They prove how great He is. "He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increases strength." So in times of trouble, in time of need, I know the source. I know where to go. I know who is willing and able to help me. Now. I like that word now. I don't have to wait later. Now. Now, I know I'm not taking this completely out of context, but saying that I don't believe. Now to him who's able. But I'm going to take it another way. I think it means right now, too. Right now. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. That's so personal. You. These are individuals. These are not spread over things. Individually pointing to us to keep you faultless, to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. The willingness of God that is not depressive to Him, it's actually with joy that He does this. And I think it's a thing that we ought to take joy in too. I am what I am solely by the grace of God. That's the way I want to live my life. I want to, in the end, when I can say I fought a good fight, I kept the faith. I did. But he was with me all the way. Paul said, I kept the faith. But Paul knew in his mind, well, there was one behind me, upholding me, keeping me from falling all the way. May God bless.